Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
To Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Oh, we have a great show. Magical Engineer Frank and I, we're got it going and we're ready to roll. And thanks for joining us on American Voice Radio Network. We are going to be talking about the dominance for your health dollars today and give you some basic starter questions that you might want to ask your doctor if he's recommending a specific therapy for you or treatment. So we got some things to cover. Also, we didn't finish our female fibroid topic, so we're going to touch on that. And if we get time, we're going to be talking about anxiety and versus a heart attack, how you can tell the difference. That topic has come up again because somebody asked, you know, I don't know, am I having a heart attack or not? So we're going to cover some of that. And we have a quack report. Yes, we do. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fi to our righteous men and women in uniform looking after them with prayer, and I hope you are seeking the Lord's face and hitting the knees and praying every day. You know, keeping that relationship strong with the Lord, seeking his face and praying for deliverance. And this nation needs deliverance, and we need his help to do that. We can't do it ourselves. And, you know, prayer has power. Never, never, ever neglect prayer. And so we have to seek the Lord. And when the nation prays, this is a supplication before the Lord. He hears it, and his will be done. But let's pray for a restoration of God in our schools and in this nation. It's a Christian nation. Let's not forget that. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker, largest U.S. measles outbreak happened in Arizona, apparently. Health officials in Arizona say they got an outbreak of measles. In part, they say, because workers at the Federal Immigration Detention Center don't want to be vaccinated, so they're blaming it on that. But authorities have confirmed 22 measles cases in Arizona since May. They say it all comes from the Eloy Detention Center, an Immigration Customs Enforcement facility. It's managed by a private Corrections Corporation of America. And the Pinal County Health Director, Thomas Schreier, said that the outbreak likely began with an immigrant, but the detainees have since been vaccinated, so they're trying to convince the employees that work at the facility to get vaccinated or show proof of immunity. But he says it's been tougher than we thought. People just don't trust the vaccines anymore, I guess, you know. So if you got a good, strong immune system, usually childhood illnesses like measles, not a problem, but use common sense. All right, moving along in the quack report. Let's see. Do you own your fingerprints, your biometric information? That's a good question, right? Right? There's a series of lawsuits. Some plaintiffs are suing some of these tech giants, which include companies like Facebook and Google, under a little-used Illinois law. It's called the Biometric Information Privacy Act. It was passed in 2008. It's one of the statutes in the United States Code that is setting limits on the ways companies can handle this data, things like your fingerprints, your voice print, your retinal scan. And there's at least four lawsuits that have been filed under this statute, and they are moving forward, so they haven't been dismissed. All right, under the Illinois law, companies must obtain written consent from the customer before collecting the biometric data. They also must declare a point at which they'll destroy the data, and they must not sell it. So the biometric loss allows for damages up to $5,000 per violation. Now, your Social Security number, you know, if that's compromised, you can get a new one. They can change it. But the law is stating the biometrics are biologically unique to the individual, and therefore, once they're compromised, the individual has no recourse and is a heightened risk for identity theft. So you talk about some serious damages can go down, right? So watch what you do out there, because a lot of people think, you know, I'll just use my finger here, my fingerprint, you know, buy gas, get my stuff at the grocery store and this kind of. You don't know who's handling all that data, that biometric data for you. And, you know, interesting, huh? All right, last but not least in the quack report, too much time online on the computer, they say, can damage your immune system, they're saying. Makes users more likely to get viruses and catch flu bugs and colds and things. So they say people with greater levels of internet addiction also more likely to fall under the higher stress category. But they say too much time online now damages the immune system, makes you more likely to get sick. So people with greater levels of internet addiction, they say, more susceptible to getting coughs and colds. They spend than those who spend less time online, according to this research out of Swansea University College of Human and Health and Sciences. They discovered that 30% of the people that spend too much time online show more cold and flu symptoms. So they also just suggested that internet addictions they push up the stress level, especially when people that are addicted to internet, when they disconnect, it impacts their cortisol levels, their hormones, and that also impacts their immune system. Now, previous studies have shown that people who spend a lot of time online experience greater sleep deprivation, have worse eating habits, less healthy diets, engage in less exercise, and tend to smoke and drink more alcohol. So we got to just keep that lifestyle in check, right? Moderation. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Well, I know some of you out there say, well, you know, I make my living online. Okay, just give me a call then at Apothecary Herbs. We have some immune-boosting herbs for you. Now, have no fear. Well, there's always another way, right? Okay, we're going to talk about the dominance for your dollars and not for your health. You know, because I came across this conversation, very interesting, between two scientists. They were going at it. They were disagreeing with the claim that herbal medicines, natural therapies, would be effective based only because of thousands of years of use. So they were saying that, you know, it was interesting that the scientists aggressively were battling antiquity, stating that any claims of benefit from natural medicine is really based on anecdotal information. And it, to them, it was cut off from reality, you know, bogus stuff. So we're going to take a look at their criticism of natural medicine and compare it with their highly acclaimed scientific medicine. Because, you know, scientists tend to be skeptics when it comes to the natural stuff. So we are aware that science prides itself on the reasonable conclusions that are based on observational facts or physical and measurable evidence. You know, and I started to wonder then if science was admitting that the ancients who observed such things as animals and they avoided certain plants because they were poisonous, was that really a reality, in reality, a reasonable conclusion that they made based on experience, or was it, you know, cut off from reality? And what about the pharmaceutical industry concluding that there was reason to believe, based on anecdotal information, that herbs contained substances for health and they proceeded to make drugs from them? Huh? Well, you know, I go there. Well, traditional medicine, you know, may have some flaws. And the scientists also mentioned that during the pre-scientific age of medicine, when natural therapies and herbs were considered medicine, that pus in wounds was considered a sign of healing. They argued that health required a more sophisticated touch, a more sophisticated method, rather than just observing nature. Then it required, in their opinion, science. Okay. Well, I personally think there's, you know, good and bad areas in the historical development of medicine. You know, science was paramount in helping us to discover the mechanics and the chemistry of the human body. We call it biology. So they were paramount in doing that. And we still really don't know everything in that regard. So I can actually remember, as a kid, my grandfather was telling me that when he was repairing a car, he said that sometimes you need a delicate instrument and not a sledgehammer to do a repair. And I often think health can fall along those lines, where the body needs the gentle power of whole food nutrition in herbs rather than the toxic pharmaceutical chemicals. So where herbs leave off at the practical limit area, then the medical science steps in with the trauma-based care. And I call this the golden bridge, okay? So why scientific medicine refuses to acknowledge this benefit, I think, is really because they're influenced by financial profit. So I think healthcare, modern medicine, has its benefit as in trauma, and I think all the other stuff really does much better with the natural therapy area. All right, so we're going to keep score, right? Who is keeping score? Well, you know, scientists are, you know, quick to point out all the superstition associated with early sources of natural medicine, right? They envision, you know, witches dancing around cauldrons under the full moon, throwing in all kinds of herbs and whatever, spells and things. That's, you know, people go there. They think that. But I'm more inclined to point out that the historical evolution of scientific medicine exhibits underlying hallmarks of superstition, sorcery, and alchemy. Now, Dr. True Ott, he's a PhD in mineral science. That's what he specializes in. He actually took the time to research the early sources of scientific medicine. He detailed the historical path of medicine, which involved ancient Babylon, and it was in his report called History of Medicine. So Dr. Ott's research revealed that the medical caduceus symbol stems from witchcraft and sorcery. So you know the symbol we're talking about. You see it on all the doctor's offices and stuff. It's the staff with the snake, maybe the wings on there. So ancient spells and crystals and metals and snakes really is the bedrock of scientific medicine, and it's still used today. For example, powdered rock fillers in your drugs, metal mercury preservatives in your vaccines, and snake venom are still in use. So it seems that modern sophisticated science is in reality not what it appears to be. So we have to keep in mind that westernized medicine at the turn of the century was actually promoted as a medicine based on human biology and superior to any other form of medicine. And a standardized medicine arose out of this, blocking access to natural medicines at every opportunity, and instead promoting the toxic and even deadly treatments, which included bloodletting. Remember? Okay, so if we read our history books, we learn that President George Washington developed a winter cold, and his scientific physicians performed bloodletting. So the president was drained of too much of his blood, and he died. So had he been left alone, he most likely would have recovered after several weeks of convalescence, you know? But the method of bloodletting, guess what? It's still carried out today by scientific medicine, but instead of a scalpel, they use a prescription drug called a blood thinner. Did you know that? Yep, the popular blood thinner recommended by scientific medicine is the rat poison called Coumadin or Warfarin. So according to the American Pharmacists Association and ProPublica.org, on average, 34,000 Americans die each year while taking blood thinners. So the new generation of blood thinners are even more deadly. Pradaxa, Xarelto, Eliquis, and as you know, because the doctors aren't able to stop the anti-clot feature in the drugs, and patients, just like President Washington, bleed to death. Yeah. All right. And what about that universal transparency? Huh? Well, the scientific world of medicine likes to stake its reputations on the measurable evidence that proves their scientific theories and makes the science transparent and universal. So which means anyone from any country or culture could be able to duplicate the research and get the same results. But lately, we have found that this is not always the case when we have 50% of the drug experiments being fraudulent. So treating disease with such drugs is equivalent to what science would call, let me think, oh yeah, quackery. Or, you know, if you're taking the scientifically approved blood thinners, well, then you have a 50% chance of premature death. And it makes you wonder, what science is trying to be sophisticated about? Is it life or death? I'm asking. All right, we got to keep an open mind, though, right? Always good. There was once this medical doctor, he was a dentist, who developed a neurological disease. It was Lou Gehrig's disease. And since he was a scientific doctor, he knew there was no cure, and he was going to die of his disease. So after 3 years, his family pushed him to try alternative treatments, and he went to see a master herbalist. Wasn't me, by the way. So he reluctantly did the therapies, and his condition improved, and he convinced himself that the improvement was just simply normal temporary remission. because his medical training convinced him there was no cure. So he struggled to accept that it was the natural therapies which were enabling him to walk better, improve his strength, ambulate without assistance, drive his car again, had no difficulty talking, and was able to return to work. So finally, he agreed that for this particular disease, medicine got it wrong, and that he was able to reverse his illness with natural therapies. You know, sometimes it's hard for people who invest years of training, tuition dollars in medical school, and have prominent professional reputations to admit that simple herbs, inexpensive herbs, and natural therapies do work, and sometimes work better than the drugs and the surgery. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we got to keep life real, and people who have been through some serious health events and they were able to restore themselves with nutrition and natural therapy, some herbs, you know what? They become believers. They do. They realize they are more powerful than they thought. So they realize not everything they've been told by modern medicine is completely accurate. Now, Benjamin Franklin, he was quoted as saying, "Half the truth is still a whole lie." And more than ever before, we need to carefully research the treatments recommended by doctors. Now, President Reagan also was quoted as saying, "Trust but verify." So when you research treatments, most often you find the devil is in the details. So I'm going to help you out in case you want to talk to your doctor about some treatments that they've been recommending you to do. Your doctor could be recommending some prescription meds. And many times, you know, the answers that you need about these drugs lie in the type of question that you ask. Because getting information on drug therapy from your doctor can be like talking to government employees. They really don't volunteer any information unless you specifically ask. So here are some basic start questions that you may want to use, and then you can dig for more information on your own. So if your doctor's saying, "I want you to take this drug for whatever reason that he's prescribing it for," here's some basic questions. You can ask, do you have a list of the major and the minor drug side effects? Will the drug produce a permanent side effect? Will the drug produce a rebound effect? In other words, make my condition worse. Will the drug produce dependency or withdrawal effects? Will the drug hurt my organs, encourage organ atrophy, or produce organ failure? Will the drug produce accumulative toxicity and hurt my liver? Will the drug increase my risk of a secondary disease? Will the drug address symptoms only and not the cause of my problem? And do you expect me to be on this drug long term, which is about a year, or a drug treatment for life? Is there a recall on this drug, or is there an FDA black box warning on it? If I start this drug and it becomes unavailable, is there a replacement drug? And is the drug made in China? And lastly, if you were me, would you take this drug? Okay. Well, your doctor should have some knowledge on the pros and cons of the medications being recommended. Now, if your doctor is really not sure of the drug side effects, ask him to bring in the physician's desk reference. It's called the PDR. And you want to look up the drug in there. Look it up together. Read about it. And if your doctor does not have the time to spend with you to answer these questions, well, then you can assume there's a patient quota that needs to be met. Kind of hard to get the answers you're going to need in just a mere 10 minutes that your doctor can spend with you. All right. So we're all going to be seeking solutions. We do. And that's what we want. We want solutions. I always say, when you're evaluating your treatments, ask if it will strengthen you or simply lessen the symptoms and give you a metabolic dependency. You know, real medicine does not pollute your system with toxins and cause more disease. Real medicine does not give you the illusion of a healing with symptom management. Real medicine resolves the cause of the symptom, the problem. Now, I find that I can resolve many health issues with organ cleansing, that's the toxin removal, and also the immune boosting herbs. So with This, you're going to supercharge your system with a lot of nutrition, and it'll draw out the pharmaceutical residues, the heavy metals, the radioactive particles, the pesticides, and so on and so on. So if you want more information and how powerful you can be and discover that, then you want to give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. They specialize in immune boosting and organ cleansing. You can give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Now, if you're outside the U.S., 704-885-0277, 704-885-0277. And thepowerherbs.com is the web address, thepowerherbs.com. It's where your healthcare options just became endless. It's where you discover your power. And they have a free product catalog. Ask for that. And, of course, if you're on their website, they do have money-saving coupons up there. Look for that green button that says Herb Coupon and check that out and save some money and get better. What could, you know, get well, save money. Hey, it's a win-win. Now, if you're on the website, do sign up for the newsletters. They go out each and every week packed full of information that will empower you and you could share with family and friends. And they are absolutely free. There's no subscription cost. So you will find them under the Books and Newsletters tab, and you can sign up for free. There is the American Survival that goes out on Tuesday, and then the Health Quest goes out on Friday. So if you want a Health Quest, it goes out tomorrow. So you can sign up now and get your first issue tomorrow and be empowered. Absolutely. Okay. I know we got a few minutes before we got to take a break, but last time we touched on the female fibroids issue, because the female reproductive system can be somewhat complex, and fibroids do concern a lot of women. Modern medicine really doesn't know what causes the fibroids to grow and the female inside the female uterus, but rest assured, the fibroids really are just a result of the female system being out of balance, okay? So we want to restore balance. So although fibroids are fairly common, they occur in 2 out of 3 women over the age of 35, they are not normal to have. The uterus shouldn't have these fibroids. So the average age for women to start developing fibroids are between the ages of 35 and 50, usually around, you know, menopausal age too sometimes. So women from puberty to menopause can get fibroids, okay? Unless, of course, you know someone like me. Going to show you how to avoid that. Yeah, easy, real easy. So what is a fibroid? Well, it's a uterine growth made of a combination of muscle from the uterus and fibers from connective tissues. Modern medicine describes them as non-cancerous tumors. So any fibroids that are present before menopause usually shrink after menopause, and you may develop new fibroids. But most women have more than just having one fibroid. So sometimes there could be hundreds of them. So fibroids can range in size from really small to like the size of a pencil tip to as large as a baseball. So fibroids, all kinds of shape, mostly round and oval, and if you see one, they kind of look like an unripe peach. Hope you don't ever see one, though. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. You know it feels good.
pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Wendy Wilson, and we're talking about female fibroids. Yes, yes. And then we're going to move on to our anxiety heart attack issue, in case you're wondering what the difference in symptoms are. We'll get to that. But right before the break, we were talking about women who can get these fibroids. And there's a lot of different types. Modern medicine actually puts fibroids in, depending on the location in the uterus, it'll give it a name. So fibroids that are found in the wall of the uterus are called intramural fibroids. Fibroids that grow out of the uterine wall into the abdominal cavity are called subcutaneous fibroids or subserous fibroids. And if they grow in towards the uterine wall and take up space inside the uterus, they are called submucosal fibroids. And medicine will diagnose these fibroids. They'll put it in your medical record as myoma or fibromyoma, but they say it's a non-cancerous type. All right, so what are the symptoms if you get fibroids if you're a female? Sometimes women don't have any symptoms, and they discover they have them when they get a pelvic exam. But research suggests 80% of the women who have fibroids have severe symptoms. So most common are abdominal or heavy uterine bleeding and excessive blood loss, which can also lead to anemia. And sometimes fibroids can put pressure on the bladder, causing discomfort and even incontinence. And you can discover, kind of get that lower back pain or pelvic pain. And fibroids can also cause a distorted uterine cavity that creates even reproductive problems. Miscarriages, women sometimes have miscarriages if they're having the fibroids in childbearing years. Other symptoms can be constipation, urine blockage, from the fibroid that puts pressure on the bladder. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, if the woman's older, she may just, you know, opt to have a hysterectomy and just be done with it. Well, what does modern medicine do about the fibroids? Well, if they tell you after a pelvic exam, maybe using some scopes just to verify, physicians will determine, you know, if they are fibroids, where they're located. And they may give you some medications and talk about an in-office procedure to help shrink or remove them. If the condition, though, is severe enough, they may even recommend a hysterectomy. So you want to do your homework because hysterectomies, you want to protect yourself from that. According to the obstetrics and gynecology, they say for out of 9 out of every 12 hysterectomies don't need to be. It wasn't warranted. So at 9 out of every 12 were unnecessary. So do your homework. Hysterectomies usually cost around $10,000 to $15,000. And 12 hysterectomies are performed every 10 minutes in the United States. So this means about 600,000 hysterectomies are done annually, and about half are due to fibroids. That's 420,000 of them. Unnecessary hysterectomies. So why does the medical community put up with unnecessary hysterectomies? Well, because it creates a $5 billion profit. That's why. All right, some other costs. Over half the women that undergo the hysterectomy or have their ovaries removed, 40% of them have work-related issues. They're out of work a little bit, maybe 6 weeks. And, you know, they lose some wages, of course. $144 million are lost each year just on that. And then women have to go on the hormone replacement drugs. And 11 women die from complications. Of every 10,000 hysterectomies done, 11 of them die. All right, let's just talk about another solution then. I'm going to talk about the female herbs. I like to use the female herbs to help tone and balance the female reproductive system because that's what's wrong with the system. It's not in balance, and that's why you have the fibroids. So there are several ways to use female herbs, and you can use them internally in a tincture form. You can use them as a bolus to insert into the vaginal canal, and you can use them topically as a poultice, but personally, I just think they work faster inside if you take them as a tincture. So I like to use the Donquai root, the Mexican wild yam, the chase tree berries, demania leaf, licorice root, and hops flowers. And it's real important to use all of those. You don't just use one or two, use them all. So if you're looking for those herbs in a tincture form, they are on the powerherbs.com website under for the female section. And so it depends on your age. Now, if you're in childbearing years, you want to use the cycle balancer. If you're in the menopausal area, you want to use the maturity formula, okay, the female maturity formula, okay. Now, the fertile formula is something different. It's taken totally different, and it's to improve your chances of conceiving, so it's not really a fibroid issue, that formula. So definitely check that out. If you're interested, you can also use a lot of other herbs to really nourish your system if it's malnourished and you need that healing power. So check out the body food mix. A lot of women like that. It gives them lots of energy. It kind of satisfies their nutrient needs, so they're not eating as much, and they can also lose a little weight they may have picked up. So check that out, thepowerherbs.com, and get empowered. Yeah. All right, we're going to move along to our heart attack or anxiety. Which is it? Patients are sometimes confused. Even physicians sometimes not sure. I have a hard time telling. Is someone suffering from a panic attack, anxiety, or a heart attack? So how can you tell the difference? Well, how can you tell if that squeezing or pressure feeling in your chest is a panic attack or if you need, to seek the emergency room because it's a heart attack? And you try breathing into a paper bag, right? So let's look. Two symptoms you want that kind of look alike, a combination of symptoms that can confuse even the most highly trained medical professional, is if you feel a little lightheaded, have a headache, and even while you're taking deep breaths, you feel the chest pain. But then it goes away. So is this the beginning of the little hiccups of a heart attack, or is it just a panic attack? Well, if you have rapid heartbeat and breathing issues caused by an anxiety panic attack, it can cause the chest pain, giving the person a sensation of a heart attack. So this is why it can even confuse your EMTs and your ER doctor. So here are some statistics. Anxiety is the most common emotional disorder, affects 40 million adults in the U.S. 18% of the population has anxiety. Anxiety costs the U.S. economy $42 billion a year, according to the Journal of Clinical Psychology. And anxiety disorder can often be accompanied by depression. So half of the patients that are diagnosed with depression also have anxiety. And what type of anxiety? There's more than one type of anxiety, and they are often associated with the panic disorder. So when you obtain an understanding of how and why your body's reacting, you can be more in control, hopefully not under the control of toxic medicines. So anxiety is really a fear that something bad is going to happen. And you know what? The good book, the Bible, refers to us, tells us that fear is torment, and it's not from God, okay? So our Creator doesn't want us to live in fear. So what are the physical or mental signs of anxiety which can lead to a panic attack? Here's a brief list. You may have difficulty sleeping, rapid heartbeat, chest pain, lightheadedness, weakness or tingling in the extremities, and difficulty concentrating or you experience forgetfulness. So it's really easy to confuse anxiety and panic attack symptoms with a heart attack. And often an anxious person will hyperventilate, which can trigger chest pains, weakness, shortness of breath, and lightheadedness. So the panic attack itself also releases adrenaline, which speeds up the heart rate and can cause heart attack-like symptoms. Also, some folks with anxiety are hypersensitive, and a slight chest pain could even trigger a panic attack. And in contrast, a slight chest pain normally would not overly concern someone not affected by anxiety. So how do you find out? How can you tell if your anxiety is kicking it up, and it's not really a heart attack? Well, you can take 5 minutes And there's this anxiety test that can help you determine which camp you fall into, panic attack or heart attack. It's called calmclinic.com, and you want to click on their anxiety test. And I would just use the test to help you determine if your situation, if it warrants a trip to the doctor or not. You don't have to subscribe to anything. So use common sense, and if your heart is in good health, and it's most likely you've suffered just a panic attack, it's nothing serious. But if it gives you peace of mind to see a doctor, maybe a cardiologist, then go get a clean bill of health from him or her. And then you can also research your options. It's always good to know what you're dealing with. So here are some telltale signs. There can be very subtle differences in symptoms when you experience panic attacks versus heart attacks. So here are some signs. So if you're suffering from a panic attack, these tend to climax in about 10 minutes and then taper off. This scenario, less common with a heart attack. It usually doesn't do that. Anxiety chest pain is going to be sharp and usually is in one spot. Heart attacks often generate a dull and radiating pain. Number three is panic attacks do not normally cause you to vomit, but it is very common for those suffering from a heart attack to vomit. So when you're in doubt, always get your heart checked out by a licensed medical physician, and then you know what you're dealing with. Okay, so here's a big question, though. Is it possible for a panic attack to cause a heart attack? Well, the answer to this is most often no. However, if a person is suffering from long-term stress and anxiety and is not doing something about it, then it could damage the organs of the body, including your heart. So those who suffer from anxiety and also have a heart condition, they're going to be at the greater risk of having a heart attack. So you want to, you know, get some control here, and you can calm down, relax. When a person has experienced a panic attack, they feel a little bit out of control. So they often fear things that won't happen. Sometimes I've heard people say, I feel disoriented a little bit, like, what day is it? I don't know what day it is, you know, that kind of thing. They focus on and they tend to mull over some negative events, and it tends to work them up into an anxiety situation. So get control of your thoughts. That helps control the physical symptoms of anxiety. And there are natural and behavioral therapies which you can use to have a positive effect to squelch those panic attacks. So one easy therapy is to utilize regular exercise. You'd be amazed how great that is. So by including a 30 to 40 minute exercise each day, it improves your mood and your energy. The exercise, if you do it regular, helps you to cope much better with stress. So regular exercise will also help reduce the cortisol hormone that's created by your stress. And this hormone can feed your anxiety gremlin. So watch that. Exercise helps to tone that down. It also improves your immune system, balances your hormones, improves your sleep, and also physically strengthens your body. And there are some other herbs I like to use for anxiety issues. Eating a healthy diet, of course, getting that regular exercise, that really whole food nutrition is really great. There are herbs for the brain and for the heart and have these essential nutrients so important that helps stabilize heartbeat and all that good stuff. So if you're looking for the anxiety buster herbs, you can go to thepowerherbs.com and check out the herbs under their anxiety, depression, panic attack tab. Now, if you don't have internet, don't worry. You can call and ask, or you can ask for a product catalog, and you can just flip to that section in the catalog and read all about it there. There also is a cardio section online and in the catalog that helps you strengthen your cardio with herbs and helps cut the dependency that you might have to have later on a lot of medicines. So check out thepowerherbs.com or give them a call at 866-229-3663. Now, when you're on the website under the cardio section, you'll see they even have a heart attack pack. It's very cool. It's a one-pound pack. Comes in a little portable pack, and it kind of you can loop it through your belt buckle, your belt line, and wear it. So you can have it with you, especially if you're going to be in a kind of a remote area doing something, camping, hiking, fishing, whatever. So when seconds count, you can have a backup until you can get to an emergency clinic. So check that out. It's a heart attack pack. Very cool to have that on hand. So check that. And also, one of my favorite herbs for squelching panic attacks is valerian root. Now, if you've tried valerian root before but you haven't tried it in a liquid, do try it in a liquid. I think it works much better as an aged tincture. So check that out, thepowerherbs.com. And do get that nutrition in your system. And if you're not eating right and you don't have the nutrition to support the central nervous system, then check out the Body Food Mix and get that supercharged nutrition going and stabilize that nervous system. All right, we got a few minutes. So we're going to talk about a little bit of detoxing. Some people say, I've never done a detox. I don't know where to start, blah, blah, blah. Some people say, I've done them before, but I really don't know if it helped. Well, let's see. Let's just check your detox score. You know, in our modern society, we have rated scores for just about everything. You got a credit score. You rate the car you drive. Your insurance company has a rating for that. The restaurant you eat at has, you know, healthcare ratings. The public schools your kids go to, they're rated by how well they're doing on final exams. All these are scores. So obtaining a score on the quality and success of your detox program is going to be important, too, not only for your wallet, but also for your overall health. So right now there are about 3,712 companies in the United States that are producing herbal products, detox products, but not all of these companies produce supplements or products for cleansing, but some of them do. So obtaining the right tools, learning how to use them correctly, can be instrumental in moving you in the right direction for a successful detox. So, you want to leave your wallet at home. There are a few requirements if you want to detox successfully. What I'm about to tell you, not all for sale requirements you should have to make your detox even more successful than ever before. So make sure that what I mean to say is when you choose a detox, don't always go by price is what I mean. Okay, so leave the wallet out of it. What you want to look is at the quality of the ingredients, the quality of the instructions of use. You want to know if there's anybody you can call and ask questions during a detox. Is there, you know, product support? So you always want to check and make sure what the quality is like. And if there's someone that you can call, get on the phone if you need them. Every day that your body naturally detoxes, so you don't want to do anything to block that. So how efficiently is your body now detoxing is a question you should be evaluating, because that's going to dictate also what detox program you should look at. So when your body automatically removes toxins from your system, it requires energy to do that. So the only place the body can obtain energy is from food sources, which, you know, you may or may not be getting good food sources. So you want to look at the lifestyle. The body needs to be able to check and break down protein, convert them to amino acids for cell energy. So if your system is not doing that efficiently, well, then that is going to dictate, again, what kind of detox program that you're going to need. So you're going to want to be able to get a lot of nutrients into the body when you detox, because with the toxin removal comes some of the nutrition, so you want to refortify. So it's really going to be important to get more beta carotene, vitamins B, C, and E back into the system, as well as some minerals like copper, iron, manganese, sulfur, zinc, and magnesium. So again, that's all going to be part of how you get or choose your detox, because does the detox program that you're looking at offer a solution to putting that super nutrition back in while you're detoxing? All good questions. So your lifestyle is going to impact not only your detox program, but afterward as well. You want to incorporate a lot of foods that are healthy and, you know, organic. Whole food nutrition in your detox program is important. So I don't like to buy a bunch of chemicals and read labels on supplement products that just look like a list of synthetic chemicals. And if that's what you have, I don't think it's going to be a very effective detox, because whole food nutrition is what we're designed to respond to. And when you use your whole food herbs to detox with, your body responds to that. So when you look at some of the food sources, whole nuts, fruits, seeds, lean meats, watch the dairy. Don't do the dairy. Mucusy. It's very mucusy. It bogs down the system when you're detoxing. So abstain from cheese, yogurt, milk, ice cream, that kind of thing when you're doing your detox. Personally, a lot of people tend to be allergic to their diet, and most American diets have a lot of dairy in there, and hidden dairy even. If you look at some of your snack products, you'll see a lot of milk. Soups have milk, buttermilk, all kinds of things in there. So you got to read your labels, especially when you're detoxing, because you can sabotage your efforts. Now, overall, women tend to be more sensitive to detox programs than men do. Science thinks it's because of the females are on, smaller stature size, lower body weight, which increases the risk of toxins being overwhelmed, reabsorbed by the body during a detox if it's not done right, and makes them feel worse than males do. So females also have higher levels of estrogen and progesterone, which affects enzymes and can cause them to be more sensitive to some herbs in detox programs. Now, the other reason is women have more fat cells than men, where fat-soluble toxins can tend to accumulate. So women also have lower levels of dehydrogenase enzyme, which helps the body detoxify things like alcohol residues. So women tend to be a little different than men do when they go about doing their detoxing. But if you do it smartly and in the right order, you can avoid reabsorbing toxins and you can get through the system just fine. So in a nutshell, we are exposed to a lot of toxins every day. Being proactive to have a free flow of these chemical toxins out of the body does our health a world of good. So you want to make sure that you're using your herbal detox programs the proper way. Now, if you go to thepowerherbs.com, under the Healthy Guidelines tab, it'll give you a quick synopsis of the cleanses and why you want to do them in that particular order. Really quick, you can download and print it off. Of course, if you got the Power Herbs book, it kind of goes through the cleanses in that chapter that's listed in there. But you do get complete and detailed information with each product that you're going to use as a cleanse from the folks at Apothecary Herbs. And, of course, you can always call and get somebody and ask questions about, what's going on if you're doing the steps right, or if you need to modify a cleanse. A lot of times, a cleanse needs to be modified. Like, for instance, if you have inflammatory bowel issues, you definitely want to modify that bowel cleanse a bit. So, and it can be done. There's more than one way of doing it, and you just want to go about it the smart, most effective way. So the people at thepowerherbs.com can help you out. Give them a call. Get a catalog, 866-229-3663. Thepowerherbs.com is where your healthcare options just became endless. I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.